You've just heard the words of the gospel. Today we follow Jesus and a few of his friends, Peter, James, and John, up a mountain. Can't you just see the three trudging behind Jesus? Rapid puffs of breath, hearts beating like mad. Their first inclination would probably be to plop themselves on the ground and rest and catch their breath. But when they reach the mountain peak, all thoughts of rest and recuperation vanish. Instead, they behold a glorious sight. Jesus is transfigured before them. And then from that mountain of the transfiguration, it's back down the mountain to business as usual. Brothers and sisters, we've all had those mountaintop experiences, haven't we? Those times when we've experienced the joy and the wonder, excitement and mystery, just as the disciples did. Perhaps it was a wedding day or ordination day, a graduation, or maybe standing before a vast and starlit sky, getting a new job or promotion. There are those highs that make the lows in our lives just a little more tolerable. On this Feast of the Transfiguration, Jesus wants to take us to a place where we get to know him better, a place where we might see him as we've never seen him before, a place where we can experience him not from a distance, but up close with all he has to offer us. Today, Jesus brings us to the mountaintop to give us a glimpse of the fullness of his love, a love that can change us. Now, I'm sure that most of you here have seen the movie The Wizard of Oz. Have you?
Yes.
Good. Do you remember that scene near the end of the movie where Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion finally encounter the wizard, whose booming voice they hear in flames and thunder and clouds of smoke? But then what happens? Dorothy's dog, Toto, pulls back a green curtain exposing the man and the machinery behind the wizard's voice. And now revealed for who he is, the wizard shouts, "Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain." My friends, today on this feast day, Jesus invites us to do exactly the opposite. Today, the curtain is pulled back precisely so that we, Jesus' friends, might see him for who he really is and pay attention to the Lord in our lives. And when Jesus is transfigured before Peter, James, and John, the curtain of his humanity is pulled aside. And it's Jesus' divinity that's revealed. But unlike the unveiling of the Wizard of Oz, what's revealed here is the truth. The gospel tells us that for a moment, the disciples were stunned and terrified. Peter fumbled for the right words. "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." The vision they saw and the voice they heard managed to soothe their doubts and fear. And for just a moment, they encountered the presence of God falling about them like sunlight on a summer day. And what a consolation this would be for the disciples when in Jerusalem, on another hilltop, they would soon witness the shining face bloodied and spat upon, and those dazzling clothes torn into souvenir rags by the soldiers who cast dice for them. Brothers and sisters, sometimes the journey of life follows a difficult and a rocky road, like the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, disappointments, failures, pain and illness. We've all had those moments in our lives when we felt so discouraged and disheartened that what happened on the mountain is just a faint memory. Just like Peter, James, and John, there have been those moments when we were so overwhelmed with events that we've fallen to the ground in fear, figuratively and literally. My friends, we who are followers of Jesus aren't exempt from those difficult and rocky roads. Because the path to our future glory passes through the ups and the downs of life, whether exciting or filled with suffering, as Jesus knew. The Transfiguration teaches us that God's brilliant life included death, and there's no way around it, only through it. And that glory passes through the Paschal mystery, Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, paving the way for our journey home. Today, Jesus invites each of us to spend time with him, to take a walk up that mountain. And just like Peter, James, and John, Jesus promises to touch us with his presence, his mercy, and his peace in order to change our lives and our hearts. Today, the Lord Jesus pulls aside the curtain between him and us to let us see him more clearly, who he is, where he is, in every moment of our lives. Brothers and sisters, yes, we've all had those experiences when we feel especially close to God. But we can't stay on top of the mountain. We need to come back to earth and continue to hear the voice of Jesus and follow him on the way to the cross in the everyday routine of our lives at the foot of the mountain where we live. In other words, we need to experience both mountains, the mountains of Golgotha and Tabor, in order to see the glory of God. My friends, Jesus calls all who would be his disciples to transfigure our lives and our world in the love of God, to transfigure despair into hope, sadness into joy, anguish into healing, and estrangement into community. Peter's suggestion that three tents be built to remember this extraordinary vision receives no response from Jesus. The transfigured Jesus asks more of us than memorials of wood and stone, those three tents, because he seeks to be a living presence that illuminates and transforms human hearts. Brothers and sisters, today in this Eucharist, the curtain is pulled aside. And in the gifts of bread and wine, there is revealed the divinity of Christ, who showed himself on the mountain to be our Redeemer, and who shows himself on this Eucharistic table to be the same Christ Jesus, our Savior. So, my friends, as we go forth today, let our prayers be that the world will see the light, the light of healing and reconciliation. And let us strive to be counted among those who listen to Jesus' word and who are transfigured by it. Amen.
Amen.